I'm Lee Wilding. I'm the singer-songwriter in the UK Americana band, The Far North. Hello.
Hello, Lee. Yes, really good to have you on the programme. I know you were on with Lara at the end of November, and yeah, you did a lovely tribute, so thank you for that on your Facebook page when you sort of heard the news.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, it came from the heart. Obviously, Lara was a wonderful, wonderful person, you know, and she was a big fan of The Far North. And, you know, I really felt like once I'd heard the news, I had to say something. You know, it was I was as stunned as anyone, you know. And like I say, it's a great loss to radio, you know. So just kind of our hearts go out to her and to you at this moment, John. So, yeah.
I really appreciate that. And thank you for the video. And it was, you know, it's just testimony to Lara, really. You know, you're sort of someone, you know, you never actually met her in person, you know, you spoke on the interviews and stuff, but you know, she kind of touched so many people's lives in so many different ways.
She did. She was wonderful. She was a wonderful asset to media. Yeah, she really was. Lovely person.
Yeah, so it's good to have you back on though and have a bit of a catch up. So yeah, so to talk about you, the Far North has been around since 2019, but you're no sort of stranger to the music business. You were in a group called Fireflies originally, and you're in
that's right,
group for 12 years. So what happened with the Fireflies then?
Yeah, well, yeah, we formed in 2007. When I went over to Canada, I kind of played a load of coffee shops on kind of like the West Coast, and kind of came back and auditioned for members for a band. So then we kind of went out on tour. We released 5 albums. You know, we had our own beer named after us, which was pretty incredible.
Going,
you know,
beer.
We went on a load of tours. It was really great. But ultimately, you know, it was kind of indie rock, you know, with a kind of foothold in the Americana genre. So I wanted to do the Americana thing, you know, properly. You know, I wanted to kind of invest, you know, my heart and my soul into it. And obviously, you know, the Fireflies just came to its natural conclusion, I think. So there were 6 of us in that band, and obviously that's gone down just to me. So like the Far North is very much a solo project. So the Fireflies was great. You know, it was a good kind of learning curve. It was, you know, kind of cut my teeth really in that band. And so, yeah, there wouldn't be a Far North if it wasn't for the 12 years in the Fireflies, really.
No, so the Fireflies are like the foundation, but it was always the plan to kind of like go in a slightly different direction and sort of move to a solo project.
Yeah, I always wanted to, yeah. I mean, the Americana genre is something that's very close to my heart, and obviously being a big fan of the likes of, you know, Neil Young and Bruce Springsteen and City in Colour, you know, the Civil Wars, you know, there's so many bands that kind of glean from that genre. And it's a genre that I am just, it's so colourful to me, you know what I mean? It's just such something that I really wanted to do. And obviously the chance meeting Nigel Stone here, obviously he is, you know, in his wheelhouse is Americana. So it, just that meeting and then, you know, the serendipity of the record label and all of it was just a melting pot of it was just really good timing. So to finally do what I wanted to do and put my heart and soul into the Americana genre in the UK, it was something I really wanted to do.
Yes, yeah, so it all just came together for you. I mean, that's fantastic how these sort of things happen. You know, things kind of happen for a reason and it all came together and all kind of went the way you wanted it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, it was really serendipitous. I'm very lucky. I'm very humbled with how it's been, you know, been received by people like all over the world. You know, obviously every single has hit number one on Apple Music and Amazon and the album and in various charts all over the world. So, you know, someone's listening, and considering, you know, I'm currently not out there touring, you know, doing any number of shows, obviously, it's just really inspiring that people are seeking out, you know, honest guitar-based music, really, you know.
And the Americana scene itself, you know, that's something that's really kind of growing, isn't it? It's gaining a lot of popularity in the UK.
Yeah, well, it's got its own awards. It's got its own charts now. You know, most guitar-based bands now kind of do have a leaning towards Americana. You know, it's so successful now. You know, 10 years ago, it wasn't the case. And I do think that, you know, Bob Harris has had quite a lot to do with that as well. And even, you know, Thea Gilmore, obviously Nigel. So, you know, Danny Champion of the World. There's so many UK bands that are so successful doing what they do. Rob Vincent. It's just really inspiring. It's really fresh as well at the moment. You know, it's like it's its own thing.
Absolutely. And for you,
it certainly inspired me over the last few weeks. I mean, John told me you were coming on, so I've been doing some research and catching up on your music, because obviously we haven't met before, Lee, so it's lovely to meet you. But it's been really nice and really good. It got me toe tapping and singing songs and stuck and going around in my head. It's brilliant.
Thank you. That's what it's all about, Matt. I really appreciate you saying that, mate. Like I say, if you've, you know, you haven't heard of the band and you've just kind of, you know, kind of gone in and enjoyed what you've heard, then, you know, that means a lot to me, mate. And that's the reason, I do it. You know what I mean? It's coming from a place of, you know, it's coming from a place of heart, really. You know, it's positive. And, you know, the people that kind of gravitate towards my music always kind of, yeah, they always have the same IMO in it, really. You know, it's always quite lovely to hear.
And listening to your music, Lee, you know, you mentioned Bruce Springsteen there. But that was the immediate thing. Listening to some of your tracks last night, sort of preparing for the interview, I was really kind of getting the sort of like the sort of influence of Bruce Springsteen was really kind of coming through, I thought, on that.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Springsteen. I think 1975's Born to Run is obviously a catalyst, a watershed moment for me. Obviously not at the time, but like kind of growing up and kind of getting into him and just really positive and just that message, you know what I mean? The everyman, the journeyman kind of message, the blue collar, you know, it just kind of spoke to me. And in 21 albums, I don't think he's ever done a bad one. I don't think he's written a bad song. It's incredible, you know? And if people mention me in the same breath as the likes of Springsteen and Neil Young, then, you know, I'm not comparing myself, of course, but I'm very happy with that, you know, analogy, I think.
And yeah, have you seen the film? Have you seen the film Blinded by the Light?
It's incredible. I've watched it a few times. Yeah, incredible.
Really kind of captures the essence of the era, and it's it was really, really great film. Really enjoyed that.
Oh, it's a really positive film. Good film. Yeah, it's based on the book, wasn't it? Welcome to Berry Park. Yeah. So and that was obviously when they picked it up to start producing that film. They obviously changed it to Blinded by the Light. I think Welcome to Berry Park's a better title because obviously it takes its cues from Welcome to Asbury Park, of course, Springsteen's debut. So Blinded by the Light doesn't quite work because I think Blinded by the Light was a song that he wrote, but then Manfred Mann's Earth Band made it famous. Okay. So it seems a bit strange that they called the film after a song that people don't necessarily know Bruce Springsteen for. Bit odd. Yeah. He could have chose anything, couldn't he? And he could have chose Thunder Road. It could have been anything, you know, but Blinded by the Light, a bit strange, but there you go. Yeah. Executives, you know, producers.
There's probably an executive decision somewhere. There's a probably
I would have thought so.
Why or whatever. Yeah, but
there would have been a group of people commissioned to sit there and think about it for ages.
That's what they say. They say a camel is a horse designed by committee, don't they? So yeah, same ethos, I think. You know.
And for you, your debut album, you produce this literally just before lockdown. So you were sort of putting it out there just as the lockdown was coming in last year.
Yeah, I think we'd mastered the album on the 23rd of March. So we played Old Trafford Stadium on the 8th of March. And then obviously, you know, the noise of the virus was getting a bit louder and people thought this actually might affect our lives here in the UK. And then, we got mastered on the 23rd. So that was the first day of lockdown, I think. So then we just didn't know what to do. We literally didn't know when to release the singles. And obviously, there's, you know, we have a small team around us of like, you know, record label, producer, publicist, manager. So I wasn't quite sure what to do for the best, really. So we held out as long as we could and then obviously released This House Is Ours, I think, on the 24th of July. But it was supposed to, the first single was supposed to come out on the back end of March and then followed by the album then, almost like a month later. So we did kind of put things back, but, you know, I'm kind of happy with how it's gone, I think.
And to play your debut gig as a far north at Old Trafford, I mean, you know, being a Man U fan, that's just going to be amazing for you, isn't it? I mean, how did that come about?
It was incredible. Well, as the Fireflies, we'd played MUTV quite a lot because I know quite a lot of the people at Man United Television. And they knew that I'd formed a new band. So they just said, well, you know, have you done any gigs yet? We were like, no. He said, well, do you want to do your debut gig at Old Trafford before one of the games? It was part of the United official podcast with David May and Lee Martin and Norma Whiteside and all those players. And they were all there kind of watching along with, you know, obviously thousands of fans and right outside the statue of Sir Alex Ferguson. So it was incredible, really, you know. Most people do. I mean, the Fireflies, we did our debut gig at the Canal Side in Runcorn, which is a little dive bar. And then I did my debut at the Far North at Old Trafford Stadium. So it's a bit weird, but there you go.
Yeah, I can see Matt's just looking at Matt's face on the video call.
Yeah, he's shaking his head.
Matt's a massive Chelsea fan. He's got a blue wall in his room. He's got Stamford Bridge all over the wall. So, you know, this must be quite
I'm putting my love of music before anything else. Yeah.
To be fair, if they'd have asked us to play Stamford Bridge, we'd have played it. Do you know what I mean? So it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, obviously, but you know, Man United at heart, but we would have played Chelsea. So
to play Old Trafford must be a bucket list moment right at the start of the journey, right?
It was incredible. Yeah, it was really incredible, Matt. Yeah. So it's just a shame that I couldn't follow it up. I couldn't like go out on tour or like the people that got in contact on social media that saw you play that day. They'd never, you know, there was no follow-up, and there still isn't, because obviously we haven't played a note of music in a year now. So a bit of a shame, but, you know, what can you do? Circumstances, I suppose.
I think we should hear some of your music, though. So your
I think we should.
Yes, your debut song, This House Is Ours. Tell us a bit about that, first of all.
This House Is Ours was like one of those songs that, and it kind of chose me, it kind of channeled out, really, as most of mine do when I'm writing them. And I just wanted something a little bit more positive, a little bit more kind of sea shanty. And I'd written it and then sent it to one of my really good friends that was a fan of the band, and she really liked it. So I kind of knew I was onto something then. And it's just really different from anything that was in the Fireflies canon. So obviously jigged it for the far north, and you know, there's got timpani drums and there's all that kind of piano and caper going on. So it's just a positive, you know, track. And I just kind of, with it doing so well, I just hope that it kind of, well, it did get a larger audience. So I'm just really happy with how it came out, really. It's only 2.5 minutes and it's very jovial. So, you know, if people like it, then great.
Let's have a listen then.
Shipwrecked on this land, so far from what's ours. I see what's left of our own sunken hearts. I smell the salt of the air. I feel the wind through my hair. Tattoos of loved ones fading over time. Needles and tears on the skin. This house is ours. Lately I feel like my smile's underneath cobwebs and dust on the floor. I feel it pulling my lungs. Oh, don't wake me when I'm gone. Sunlight this morning cuts deep through the trees. I see the cliffs of the old.
Radio Working from the Far North, and still with us is Lee from the Far North, songwriter and performer, basically Mr. Far North.
That's right, Mr. Far North. Happy to be here. Thank you.
How hard is it to write a song? Because I've never done it, but I've always wondered, how does it come about? Do you have a way of doing it? Do you have a structure you stick to?
Yeah, it's weird. I think I channel the songs, so I think it was like Bono or Noel Gallagher that said that when they're playing the guitar's a fishing rod, and it's just kind of like, you kind of cast it out into the ether to see what kind of sticks, you know, and it's the same thing for me. So I'll just press record on my phone, and whatever kind of comes out, the songs usually come out fully formed. So I've got the chords and I've got the vocals, the lyrics, and they're all kind of fully formed. They're already there. I might do a bit of tweaking, you know, pre-production before we record it. But This House Is Ours and Runaway, everything off Gentle Souls was just me sitting down, press record on my phone, and the song came out fully formed. A really strange way of kind of doing it. But yeah, there's no other way to explain it, unfortunately. That's it.
And what I found really interesting is you say with the album, you sort of make it as a something that people can sort of listen to as a whole rather than kind of like, so it's like a journey, I suppose, from sort of track one onwards.
Yeah, well, that's how I intended it to be. So I wanted people to listen to it in one go. You know, obviously people do cherry pick their favourites and obviously Spotify playlists and the rest of it. But I kind of engineered it so it was a bit of a journey, you know, starting with Runaway and ending with Gentle Souls. So I just wanted to, you know, I know our music appeals to the vinyl lovers. It appeals to people that are, you know, of all generations, really, but like maybe people that are around like my age, you know, like 40s kind of onwards, because they remember that, like the vinyl and just listening to a whole side, you know what I mean? And turn that over and just being encompassed in it. So that's what I wanted to do. But I mean, media is the way it is now and people digest it any way they see fit, which is fine. But in my head, I wanted it to be like a journey, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of taken us back to, you know, to say the time when you buy an album and you'll sit and you'll listen to it and you'll sort of invest that time and to go on that journey. But now it seems to be, you know, digital music and you sort of listen to the first few seconds of a song or a couple of minutes and skip to the next one and songs in all sorts of orders. So it's just interesting how the kind of the industry sort of evolved, really.
Yeah, that is. And there's some artists that have kind of gone along with the with how this industry's evolved. But like the likes of AC/DC and the Beatles, you know, they were very resistant to Spotify. If you remember, they were like some of the last bands ever to kind of go on there. You know, they said they'd never do that. They'd never cash their chips and go on, you know, those platforms. But you've just got to move with the times really now. I don't have any doubt in the fact that if this was now 1995, you know, I'd have a medium-sized record deal and I'd be going out supporting a Britpop band. It'd be very, very different. But the medium has changed so much now. The business model's changed so much. It's all about the DIY. You know, there's no reason to get involved with like a major label anymore for them to take all the money. You know, you can hire your own publicist, you can hire your own tour manager, you know, you can do it all your own now. And if you've got the songs and you've got the production and you've got, you know, you've got that fire, then people will listen. And ultimately I'm testament to that because it's happened.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, you've enjoyed some real success with your music.
Yeah.
And that must be really great, you know, just to know that people are listening to music, something you've created, and people are enjoying that and getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, it's nice when people get in contact on social media and say how much they enjoy the album or what it means to them. Or, you know, I did an interview with a radio station in Canada in December, and they said, the guy Brian, who was the host, he said that he'd kind of fell in with, I think it was Grace in 1995. Those two tracks reminded him so much of things that happened in his youth. They took him right back. You know, even though it was a new experience listening to these songs last year, it kind of reminded him of something that was like in his past and it was like a sweet memory. So things like that, really. And obviously whatever the song is about, it isn't about that. Like whatever you interpret the song to be, then that's right. You know, they're all open to interpretation because I don't cognitively or sentiently sit down and write them. They could be about anything. You know, I don't even know what they're about. So, you know, people just kind of make up their own, you know, stories.
People can tell you what they're about then, what they think.
Yeah, they do. People do, yeah. It's fun, right? Kind of guessing, I guess. But yeah, it's all good.
So the album Songs, Song from the Heart, we're going to play the latest release, Branches, a bit later on. But the second track that you released from that is called Runaway. So yeah, tell us a bit about the story behind that.
Well, I was wanting to write a song that was reminiscent of like Thunder Road, you know, so definitely 95, Born to Run, Springsteen era. So it was just one of those, you know, get in the car with the one you love, head for the horizon and don't think about yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow, you know. And that's exactly Runaway in a nutshell. And I wrote that just again. That was another one where I was like literally sat down on my living room floor just with my acoustic guitar, pressed record on my phone again. And within 4.5 minutes, it was there. Like the words, the chord changes, really, really strange. So, really proud of that one. Like so a lot of people have kind of taken to that one, you know, obviously with it being the first track on the album as well, but just immensely proud of what it's achieved. And I think it sounds, you know, very fresh. It's a big sounding song.
And it's really interesting what you say about it, because I listened to it and thought it's definitely a song you could put on in the car while you're on a long drive and it would suit you perfectly. So...
Well, there you go, then. Exactly, job done. Yeah, it's definitely a road trip kind of song, you know, road vibe.
Let's go on that virtual road trip now and have a listen to this. So this is Runaway.
If you're leaving, won't you begin again. We didn't have a care. Whoa, we didn't have a care. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish I was just like you. Wish I was beautiful. Sing me a song and I'll sing along. Oh, sing me your favorite song. Run away with me. We can do the things we do, 'cause we are so beautiful.
From the far north, and we're still here with Lee. Thank you for taking us on that road trip, Lee. That's a brilliant song.
Oh, mind you,
the whole album's amazing. I think I'm just going to have it on repeat for the rest of the weekend and probably all of next week as well.
Well, that's very humbling. Thank you, Matt. That means a lot. Thank you.
And so, yeah, we mentioned the album released just on the brink of the country going to lockdown. You know, just trying to work out exactly how you go out and promote it with everything that's going on. I mean, that must have been an absolute sort of nightmare, I suppose, for you to try and work out how you promote an album when you can't actually go and play any gigs.
Yeah, well, I remember when Letters to You came out by Springsteen in October, I remember he gave an interview, I think it was like to Zane Lowe or someone, and just said, it's incredibly painful to have written this album, to have released an album, to not go out and support it. And I thought, well, if that's how Bruce Springsteen feels, imagine how I feel. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, like I juggle a full-time job with this, and, you know, it's not a full-time thing with me, the music. In my heart it is, but unfortunately, you know, you have to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So, but I was so close. I was on the cusp of making that jump because there's only me in the far north. It's an easy kind of, you know, it's an easy payday really, you know, with like merchandise and with obviously the gigs and the rest of it, you know? So I was kind of hoping to have done it by summer last year. So of course it's put every, I mean, you know, it's a, everyone's in the same boat. I get that. And a lot of people are way, way more worse off than I am. But I'd kind of had a hope to have made that jump, but it's just frustrating. I mean, I did loads of like Instagram Live, Facebook Live, you know, did all those kind of things. But ultimately I think I did my last one in like maybe February. Cause it just became boring. Because there's, you know, there's people watching obviously online, and you can see who's online, but it's just not the same. So I'm just kind of
can't see them.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So I'm just kind of steeling myself for the world opening up and just getting out there and playing anywhere and everywhere. Really.
So have you got plans already in motion and in place to come straight back out and go, okay, now we can run with the album, we can have some fun and play some live music and stuff?
Yeah, there are a few things in writing at the moment that we're going to be doing a full kind of UK tour, maybe supporting some other bands. So, yeah, you know, it's in obviously in the embryonic stages at the moment, but it will be as soon as I announce a tour, it will obviously be on the website and social media and stuff. So, just can't wait to get out there, you know. And we'll be heading to Woking, so you know, all good. We'll see you guys.
Where
and when are you planning to be in Woking then?
I don't know, but we will be. Oh, I will be, should I say. Yeah, I definitely will be. So just to see you guys and to do a nice gig down your way. Why not?
That's good. Yes.
You're very supportive. So, you know, it's only right, really.
Absolutely. Yes. You'll love Woking. We've got a lot of building work going on at the moment. You might get a lot of time, but it's fine.
Yeah. Isn't Paul Weller from Woking as well? He's from Mount Joe Way, isn't he?
Stanley he
road,
is.
Yes. He's actually a road in Woking. I drive past that most days.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. People nick the sign, I believe, though.
Because it's linked to Paul Weller, they nick the sign all the time.
So there's no one from Liverpool down there, is there? Crikey.
One other thing I was wondering, and I think some people listening may be wondering, is obviously the last year has been crazy for us all, and there has been lots going on, but has in any way given you any inspiration or any other things you can lean on for new material? Because I'm assuming if this all goes well, and I'm pretty sure it will, there'll be a second and a third and maybe even a fourth album on the way at some point, so...
Yeah, as long as I draw breath, I'll be releasing albums and touring and making new music. Hopefully with Nigel as well. You know, Nigel's on board. So, you know, I've sent him probably about 14, maybe 15 new songs. We've kind of whittled that down to about 8 that we think are going to go on the second album. And, you know, I'm writing, you know, every week as much as I can. You know, I've wrote a couple of songs, you know, very recently, last couple of weeks. So yeah, you know, there's never going to be a shortage. And of course, there's some of the Firefly songs that never kind of got the recognition they should have done. So they'll kind of be coming back round again, all kind of shiny and new for the far north. So yeah. So as long as I'm still going, then the band will be going forever, I would have thought. So.
And I love the fact, you know, your website, farnorth.co.uk, you've got all your blogs and you can find out all about you on there. You've got merchandise on there. We love merchandise. And I love
how
you embrace the current situation and you've got your own branded face masks on there. I mean,
we have got the Far North face masks. Yeah. I mean, someone's buying them. So someone's walking around buying Far North face masks. So, you know, not capitalising.
It's actually a good avatar, a good way of advertising.
It really is. It's really clever. Well done.
Have you got a collection of really sort of funky looking face masks yourself then?
You think I would, but I just got the surgical NHS ones really. Because I bought like a pack of really three really nice ones from like Asda. And I lost them within a week. Like one of them was a camouflage one. There was like a really nice silky black one. And then I don't know where they went. So I just used the NHS ones.
Okay. Don't walk around with Far North face masks then.
No, exactly. No, I think the reason it's just occurred to me now why I can't find the camouflage one. But that's another story.
I've got Matt's got a Chelsea face mask you can have.
I actually haven't.
Oh, brilliant.
No, I haven't. I have got a few custom-made ones because the producer of my Drive Time show on a Monday makes them. So I've got a few custom ones, but they're not Chelsea ones.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
It's been really good to talk to you, though, Lee. And
oh, thank you.
We were talking about Branches, which is the new single. I gather this was a Firefly song that's been sort of reworked. Is that?
That's right. Yeah, it was. It's a torch song, really. You know, it was like the first song that I wrote that I was incredibly proud of and believed in. It's a very, very beautiful love song, and I just think it's a beacon of hope for the era, really. You know, obviously I wrote it like 6 years ago, but it kind of holds true incredibly now. Yeah. So you know, everything will be all right, and never, you know, kindness isn't hasn't run its course. You know what I mean? It's not overrated. Love hasn't run its course, and there's lots of it. If you look for the beautiful things in life, then you know you're going to find them, and it's just going to work out in the end. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what Branches is all about, really. Just kind of keeping the faith, you know.
Yes, I think we need a lot of that at the moment.
We do. We really do right now.
Yes. So, if we want to find out more about you, how do we find you?
So obviously the aforementioned farnorth.co.uk. Then on Twitter, it's the Far North Band. Far North Band on Instagram, and Far North Music on Facebook. So if anyone wants to reach out on social media, then obviously I always reply, and it's always nice to speak to fans and people who are just kind of discovering my music. So thank you.
Absolutely. The song Song from the Heart, the album, available now on all good platforms, I gather. And the new single Branches. We're going to play that now. Would you like to introduce it?
Absolutely, yes. This is Branches, and this is the new single by The Far North.
Thank you, Lee. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, guys. Very welcome. Thanks, guys.
Of our love, so let's build another home.